the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our dramatic program today, Naomi, was written by Virginia Radcliffe. It is the fifth in a series of six programs entitled Women of Valor, Women Whose Lives Exemplify Qualities of Greatness.
Oh, what is this, Obed? You crying? What is it?
My knee, it hurts. Oh,
why, that's not even worth mentioning. The scrape of a stone. Come, sit here on my lap. Oh, there. I'll tell you a story.
About Naomi, Mama?
You want to hear it again? All right. This is the story of Naomi, your grandmother.
Except she was not my grandmother.
No. Naomi had no one of her body who lived beyond her. Yet, she was the mother who bore us all.
That part I do not understand.
I know. But I hope what I tell you stays in your heart, whole, until you have sons of your own, and its meaning is revealed to you. Now, you remember how the story begins?
There was famine here in Bethlehem.
Oh, such famine. There had been torrents of rain and then no rain at all for many months, so the earth was barren and cracked and hard as flint. Try to plant living seed into flint. The people had eaten all they had stored. Their flocks and herds were gone, and no blade of grass grew. So they came to their leaders and waited in the hot sun for a measure of corn. But Naomi's husband had given out none to them.
Elimelech, please.
I am sorry, Naomi, no.
But they stand at the gate all day and into the night.
And women are fainting.
Three in the past hour.
Naomi, we give out corn to the first fainting woman, then to the second. And before we know it, the entire population of Bethlehem will fall unconscious to the ground.
But they are desperate. Would you blame them for making it look just a little bit worse?
Naomi, you would feed the whole world while your husband and sons do without. I say charity begins at home.
Does it?
I have worked and planned and saved to provide for my family. Must I now pay a penalty for being a far-sighted and responsible husbandman?
Elimelech, you are getting a stomach.
What do you expect? I'm not so young anymore.
And with youth also go the ideals? I suppose it's inevitable.
Well, why cannot my kinsmen do their share?
Boaz has given out what corn he had at the gate this morning. And yesterday, Tob.
Wife, if there is anything I cannot endure, it is a contentious woman. Am I being awarded the title of judge, then, that I should be responsible for the whole of Bethlehem, Judah?
We are what we are by the grace of what the Lord has given us, to give out in return.
Ah, that is woman talk. Man has to be practical. I say to myself, why have we been visited with this terrible suffering? Obviously, the Lord is displeased. And why? Look about you. The young people today, godless, frivolous. They boast that they believe in nothing. Even Malon and Gilead. Our own sons are as bad as all the others.
Then I am at fault.
No, no, it is in the air, a contamination. There is but one solution, I am convinced. I have decided we will leave here, remove to another country.
Another country?
Yes. I have no doubt that with my present herds and flocks and the amount I could realize selling my grain here, plus my, well, the reputation that would go before me, I could establish us all there with some distinction.
I have no doubt you could. Husband, what country?
Now, it is not going to be as bad as you think. We would settle by a river with grazing lands and green fields. Moab.
Moab?
There is no enmity now, not anymore. We might find it strange at first, but...
Elimelech, you complain that Judea has become godless. But would you live in a land where they worship five or six gods?
They are not having a famine.
Oh, you frighten me.
Now, Naomi, we would live there as piously as you direct.
What good is piety when we run away from our responsibility? What is there left to teach our sons?
Well,
I must take some kind of action. I can endure this place no longer. Listen, if it will make you feel better, I will open our jars of corn to all the people and charge them nothing.
And that is going to solve everything.
It is what you want, is it not?
I want you to face the reality of what you are about to do. Oh, husband, we will be punished for it somehow.
Well, I've made up my mind. Are you going to come with me? I will not force you. But neither am I obligated to open my granaries.
Blessed be the name.
Wife, I need you. Try to understand.
I love you. Oh, you dear Matt. How could I let you go to that strange land and try it all alone?
And so, my child, they took their herds and their flocks and began the long, hard journey down from Bethlehem, through the wilderness and past the tip of the great salt sea.
Did the wild animals come and bite them?
No. But the men were hard put to protect their animals, and even themselves and Naomi. But at last the Lord brought them safely through the mountains that bordered the country of Moab, and they stopped at the city of Bezer.
Is this going to be it, Father? I have no objections.
We are not here to see the sights, Killian. Well, wife, what do you think?
It is certainly more lively than Bethlehem.
Well, what a relief to look at people who are not half-starved.
Particularly girls, eh, Mary?
Now, listen to me.
Oh, why stop them from looking? Except, will all Moabite women dress as immodestly as that?
Where? Naomi, we would have our own home and privacy.
All right, husband. I understand.
Well, good. You are sure? Then I'd better try to find some official and make arrangements. I am a little surprised that someone did not come out to meet us.
Perhaps we are not quite as well known as we thought.
But indeed, Elimelech was bidden to the audience chamber of the king's house next day, and he stood with Naomi and his sons, hesitating at the door. The king's daughters were not customarily included in such occasions, but my half-sister Orpah and I slipped in through the curtains near where the interesting strangers waited.
Oh, husband, what have we done? This is such splendor.
And better than I dared hope. The king himself may receive us.
Well, then the gifts we brought for the chamberlain would not be fine enough.
You are right. What shall we do?
Where is the worked goblet, the gold
hidden
one?
Hidden in one of the sacks with grain. Wait here. I think I know exactly where it is.
My sons, listen. I beg of you, if your father does find places for you in the king's army, do not forget who you are.
Well, he brought us here, did he not? And we must live our lives wherever we are.
And all this is so instructed.
Well, while you are living your lives and being instructed, I ask only that you remember how you were raised. I hope you will keep your worship of the name. Keep it to yourselves, though you may have to.
Mother, a man cannot force himself to believe in a thing just because he'd like to, can he?
No. I would never ask anyone to do that.
Well, then if we conduct ourselves well, what I mean is, we would always try to, for your sake, Mother.
Not for my sake. Remember that. For yourselves. For yourselves.
The universe makes obeisance to Eglon, king of all Moab, anointed of Baal and of the bull gods, most holy.
Blessed be the name.
I found it.
Just in time.
We are pleased to begin the audience. Intelligence has come to us that the patriarch, Elimelech, of the land of Bethlehem, Judah, has arrived with the flattering desire to settle in our midst. We are honored, sir. Step forward and be welcome.
Go on, Father, go on.
I wish the goblet had been polished.
I greet the great King Eglon as a friend from the land of Judea and hope that he will accept my poor everyday gift as a token of friendship.
Poor indeed. If that is an example of the work your countrymen do as a part of every day, come closer. I understand you have two fine sons.
I am so blessed, sire.
Of military age.
That is true.
Then let them come forward.
Oh.
Here it is. Head lower, brother dear. Lower.
How can I see where I am going?
By taking one step at a time, son.
Thus it was, my child, that Malon and Killian became officers in my father's army. My sister Orpah and I often saw the two handsome young foreigners about the palace tents and rooms. And naturally, we were curious.
It is good we both do not fancy the same one, Ruth.
How do we know either of them would fancy us?
We are who we are.
What would that mean to men from a far country?
Oh, when a man smiles the way that Killian smiles.
Oh, Orpah, you are positively waiting to be entranced. But then perhaps so was I. Although Malon only looked at me, never spoke, I was aware of the growing friendship between my father and his. But what of Naomi, his remote and beautiful mother? What of their family customs, lives I could conceive nothing of? I had myself driven to their house outside the gates of the city. There I found Naomi sitting alone, without handmaidens, gazing across the hills in the direction of her homeland. And I felt a sudden pang at my boldness.
But you are welcome, Lady Ruth.
I am honored. Thank you, Lady Naomi.
Come, sit down. We'll have something cool to drink.
Oh, no, please do not trouble.
Oh, Lady Ruth, I assure you, you will not be poisoned.
Oh, I had not even thought of that.
Many people of the city believe us mysterious and strange and would hesitate.
My father did not hesitate to offer your sons positions of trust.
No, you are right. And I am delighted you came. I must admit it's lonely here sometimes.
Then you must let me bring you to the palace.
Oh, no, thank you. I fear I might make your women uncomfortable.
You do not make me at all uncomfortable.
Shall I set the tray here, mistress?
Yes, please. Now, tell me truthfully if you do not like the taste of this.
Oh, it's delicious. Truthfully.
You are lovely, do you know that? And surely you have a circle of friends in the palace to keep you occupied.
You wonder why I came. Very well. I was curious.
Good. How can I satisfy your curiosity?
Tell me what it is to live in your land.
Oh, you do know how to strike a chord. But why do you wish to hear?
There have been tales of it, and I've wondered. Please tell me.
Bethlehem's valleys can be beautiful after a sudden rain. White with almond blossoms. And the meadows covered with wild flowers. And there are vineyards and waving grain fields and gardens green with spices. But when it does not rain, week upon week, month upon month, the white hot sun splits the earth into cracks like gaping mouths, and the beasts in their lost pasture lands shrivel and die. And the people become like beasts.
Famine. How terrible. Did you not pray to the great harvest mother?
We worship but one God.
Oh, but what do you do about the harvest and the lightning and the bringing of children?
The Lord is the Lord of all things.
How can that be?
We see not how it can be otherwise.
I am amazed. Even in time of famine, you would pray only to him?
Especially in time of famine.
Oh, I wish that...
What do you wish, Lady Ruth? Oh,
how can I say it? I must have been born with a wandering mind. I wish I could know more of your land and your family and your...
And perhaps of my sons.
Well, yes, I admit it.
My dear, I must tell you, our worlds are very far apart.
Why? Why must they be?
You are a king's daughter. Don't be foolhardy. Cleave to your own and turn your eyes away from us. Now, for your own sake.
I was hurt. I was also young, willful, and unused to being put away. I told my sister Orpah, and we decided to test the Judean brothers and send for them secretly.
Lady Ruth, why are we sent to meet you in the darkness of a wine tunnel?
Well, if we had received you openly... Well, the situation is delicate.
I see. How may we serve you?
Oh, Orpah, how can I speak?
I knew when the time came you would turn faint-hearted. Sirs, I will be the brazen one and ask you, are you forbidden to marry here in Moab?
Oh,
Killian. Ladies, we quite understand your position. Your father did not name us officers because he enjoyed our conversation.
Whereas your parents would never consent.
I fear you're right. What you wish to know, though, is what we feel.
We have our own lives to live. That is how we feel.
But you see, you have given us no sign.
How could we, Lady Ruth? Oh, listen to me. If there were no question of agreement between our parents, if you could be certain that I have looked upon you and desired you for my wife, that it is not ambition that prompts me, but your face and what you are in my heart, would you then accept me? Say yes, I beg of you, say yes.
Yes, Malon.
Ruth.
Now, how can I ever plead my cause after that?
It is no matter, sir. Let the older ones be eloquent with words. You know how to smile.
So it was understood between us, and as I had hoped, my father was pleased. But Elimelech went out to his house in a rage.
What nonsense is this I hear, Naomi? You arranging for Malon to meet the king's daughter secretly?
I?
You need not look so innocent. Eglon is plaguing me about the possibility of a betrothal.
But what did you expect when he made them officers?
But I will no longer be able to avoid discussion if they are seeing his daughters.
They're young men full of life. We cannot command them to live as hermits.
You would have more bitish names following mine?
No. But have you given them a choice? Where are the wives you promised to send for?
There will be time for that.
And in the meantime, Eglon's daughters bloom in their youth and their loveliness.
Then you admit your complicity.
I admit that I cannot force Malon to deny his emotion. Oh, Elimelech, we ran away. And in doing so, put temptation before our sons to lose whatever faith they had. Where are your eyes to see that?
I see only that you defy me in my own house. I will not suffer intrigue behind my back, do you hear?
Please. You frighten me the way you look.
Send for them. Send for my sons.
But they are on duty.
Send for them! I will recite the law to them myself, since you are so won over. By the ways of this land, you pretended so to fear.
Oh, Malik, don't. Your anger...
My anger is righteous, and the Lord's will is with...
Husband! What is it?
Bring me water.
Water! Quickly! In here! Dearest, lie down.
I feel unwell.
Try to be quiet.
What?
Here, mistress.
What?
Here it is. Now drink.
I cannot breathe. I'll swallow.
There.
Now, will I die in an alien land?
Oh, no, no. You've only been in the sun too long or lost your temper after food.
You always have a gentle explanation with a barb inside.
I have loved you most when I thought you most wrong.
Now, watch over them.
Let me look.
Bless me.
Oh, no. No, no. We would have given up our lives for you.
But the Lord had struck an arrow into Elimelech's heart, and he died there, under the gentle fall of Naomi's tears. I respected her grief, but I knew also that alone she could not prevent our marriage. I am ashamed that it was almost in triumph that I came to her.
Lady Ruth, how good of you. My poor home is yours. It must be very lonely for you here now. I'm sorry. You're kind to attempt words, but I will be comforted. I have a lifetime to remember in my heart. There is a future, though. Yes, and what it holds, I cannot deny. Perhaps it is the Lord's will that my sons...
What are you saying? You will not try to stand in our way?
Lady Ruth, my sons are all I have now. And if I could have chosen wives for them from our world, I would have. But that does not mean I'm against you.
But I thought...
Well, how could I be? I love you in my way as my son loves you in his.
I'm astonished. I thought you hated me. That your lord told you to.
Where did you get that idea?
That first day, when I came here. When you turned so cold.
I wanted to spare you heartbreak. But we cannot do that for each other, can we?
No,
I fear we cannot. Dear Ruth, may the Lord bless you and bring you joy.
She kissed me then, weeping. And after our marriage day, she opened her heart to Orpah and to me, and we looked to Naomi as we would to our own mothers. And I was filled with the words I heard from her lips and began to believe in the Lord who is one God. But then a shadow passed over our land of Moab, the shadow of the beast with the horn in his forehead.
Famine?
No, child. Pestilence. The destruction that wasteth at noonday. And Mahlon and Chilion were dead. We three women stood together in the void of Naomi's house, women without issue, one of us without hope ever again.
He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Then Naomi turned her face toward her homeland, saying, when Orpah and I followed after her,
Oh, no, no. Return, each of you, to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of your husband.
What husband? We will go with you to your people.
Oh, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? If I should say I have hope, would you tarry for them till they were grown? No, my daughters. It grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me.
Mahlon told me you believed you had brought us ill luck.
I promised him it was not true.
Naomi.
Go back, little Orpah. You have a life here yet.
Well?
Goodbye, my dear. The Lord be with you.
Goodbye. I can't say any more.
Ruth, go with her. Back to your people and your gods. Return after her.
Do you begin to see, my child, why, when many months after I married again here in Bethlehem and bore you, the people said, a son is born to Naomi? For that day on the road, as my sister was leaving us, something had given me the power to speak the words of Naomi's own tongue. And I said to Naomi, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death.
part thee and me.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now, we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Morris A. Schenker, prominent attorney and civic leader of St. Louis, Missouri. Mr. Schenker.
Naomi, in today's drama, exemplifies the quality of the Jewish people that has sustained them for the 2,000-year separation from their land. Like Naomi, many were tempted to conform to alien traditions and forsake those of their ancestors. They endured indescribable persecutions, hardships, and humiliation in the years that had elapsed. Yet, miraculously, the Jews endured these hardships and survived. Individual men and women were able to keep alive the traditions of their forefathers. More important, the Jews were able to instill their teachings, their hopes, and their dreams in the hearts of succeeding generations in the same manner as Naomi had implanted her love of her God and her people in Ruth's heart. Each succeeding generation carried forth their parents' hopes and dreams with equal fervor. In our lifetime, we have seen the fruition of the dreams of 2,000 years of Jewry, the rebirth of the State of Israel. It is certainly one of the great marvels of history how a people dispersed for 2,000 years could coalesce into a modern nation. Even reviving the language of Hebrew, which had been all but dead those many years. The miracle that caused the rebirth of Israel, however, still exists in the hearts and minds of the Jewish people. The many Jews that do not live in Israel carry with them a feeling of kinship with those in Israel, as well as all other Jews scattered throughout the world. And the Jews of the free nations, including those of Israel, have made it possible for persecuted Jewry to settle in Israel. Although the Jewish people sometimes had no land, the Jewish land has always had a people. For the idealism exemplified by Naomi is ever present in Judaism.
Thank you, Mr. Schenker. Our Eternal Light drama today, Naomi, was written by Virginia Radcliffe and was the fifth in a series of 6 programs entitled Women of Valor. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Sarah Fussell, Barbara Myers, Kay Cummings, Larry Robinson, Alan Bergman, Dean Lyman Almquist, and Santos Ortega. Rita Lloyd was Ruth, and Vera Allen was Naomi. Be with us for next week's Eternal Light dramatic presentation, Abigail, written by Harriet Kopp. This is Bill McCord. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.